Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, good morning. Even though I was gone for a couple of weeks, I got to listen to the fine messages that were preached in my absence, and I am grateful to Pastor Brian for particularly Sunday before last, talking about worship in truth, part of our series on worship. It is absolutely vital that we offer God what He wants because we love Him. My wife and I have been married quite a few years now. It'll be 43 years this summer, and next month, less than a month, 43 years. My wife, in those years, has definitely learned what I like to eat. And so she does not offer me wheat groats, and she does not offer me baked beans. It's fine for you to have baked beans. I just never liked them, not even as a kid. So my wife, who likes baked beans? I get them for her, but she doesn't do that for me because she knows me. Brian talked about that in his message. He said he would not offer his wife an opportunity to go caving followed by a roller coaster ride. You know, that's just not what Sarah Lynn likes. And if you love someone, you want to offer them what they like, not just do whatever appeals to you. When we come to worship God, we ought to be concerned about offering God what He is looking for. And God says He's looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so Brian emphasized the necessity of worshiping God in truth. We're going to continue in that theme today as we talk about the fact that God is the one who reveals Himself, but part of our problem is not just that, you know, we don't see the full truth. It's that we actually have a sin nature that makes us resistant to the truth. I loved his analogy of a dog trying to learn calculus. It doesn't mean calculus isn't true because a dog doesn't understand it. There are limitations on our understanding just based on God being infinite and us being finite. God is unlimited. We are very limited. But there are also problems with our recognizing who God is because we're bent the other way. There's stuff about God, for example, His sovereignty, that our flesh rebels against. Because do you remember how Satan got kicked out of heaven? He wanted to put himself in the place of God. He wanted to be able to call his own shots, do his own thing, have his own way. Didn't work for him, but then he says to our first parents, "Hey, you don't have to do what God says." He said, "You're going to die?" No, you will not die. God knows that if you eat the fruit of that tree, you're going to be like him. You're going to know good and evil. You're going to be able to decide for yourself. You're going to get to be the big shot. God's trying to keep you from becoming like him. God, in fact, is in the process of making his children like him. But Satan's a liar and the father of lies, and he tries to make us think that God doesn't want us to be like him. Well, our flesh rebels against God's sovereignty, because if God is sovereign, guess what? We're not. If God is in control, that means we need to submit our lives to Him. rather than trying to be our own boss, have it our way. I mean, think about the slogans for American corporations, okay? Have it your way. That enabled one burger company to make great advances in the marketplace because we like having it our way. We like to feel that we can decide, that nobody's going to tell us. That's one reason that there are so many entrepreneurs in America. I meet kids and I say, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? I want to be an entrepreneur. Really? Okay, well, you know, it might help if you'd study, but what does an entrepreneur do? They make lots of money. Some of them do. Some of them go broke. Some of them go broke over and over. But let me ask you a question. If God is sovereign and you're not God, wouldn't it make sense to get along with the boss? Wouldn't it make sense to submit your will to his, to pray as Jesus taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Wouldn't that just make sense? So we need to know who God is and we need to know what God wants. But there's a major problem even among religious people not knowing the truth about God. One of our favorite pictures of that is in the book of Acts, chapter 17, while Paul was waiting, verse 16, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed when he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worshiped God, as well as in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also debated with him. Some said, what is this ignorant show-off trying to say? Others replied, he seems to be a preacher of foreign deities, because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. They took him and brought him to the Areopagus and said, may we learn about this new teaching you are presenting? Because what you say sounds strange to us, and we want to know what these things mean. Now all the Athenians and the foreigners residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new. Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which was inscribed, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. From one man he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. He did this so that they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, then we shouldn't think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image fashioned by human art and imagination. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to ridicule him, but others said, we'd like to hear from from you again about this. So Paul left their presence. However, some people joined him and believed, including Dionysius, the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. The Apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, says God has been willing to overlook ignorance in the past, but now he's calling everyone everywhere to repent. Time's up. It is now time to repent. Don't think you can just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and I'll deal with that someday. God says now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. This is the opportunity. I preached a funeral for a precious friend this last Wednesday, and it was very clear that some of his family and friends absolutely loved Jesus and shared my friend's faith. But there were other relatives and friends who clearly didn't know the Lord. And so I said to them, some of you are sitting there and you're saying to yourselves, I don't know if it's true or not. Yes, I've heard the gospel, but I don't know if it's true. And I said, if you're saying that, I hope that you will have the courage and the integrity to investigate and find out whether it is true or not. Don't just sit there saying, well, I don't know. Because if it's true, you need to know. And if it's not true, you need to know, lest you waste your life the way that this man wasted his. Now, obviously, they don't want to think that this man wasted his life, because he most certainly didn't. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that if it's not true, if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are to be pitied more than all men. Christianity isn't a nice, sweet way of approaching life, even if it isn't true. If it isn't true, it is the most destructive waste of life imaginable. Say, well, no, I think even if it's just a myth, it's better than some of the other religions. No, it's not. God says we are to be pitied more than all men if it's not true. So if you're not sure, have the courage to find out. And I say that knowing that person after person after person who set out to prove it's not true got saved. Because if you look at the evidence, if you want to know the truth, God promises he'll make it clear. Amen. The people who stand around saying, well, I just don't believe it, are willfully ignorant. They don't want to know the truth because they're running from the truth. Now, the Apostle Paul says you can be extremely religious and still be ignorant. There were those who had set up a monument to the unknown God. They knew there had to be something else. You know, there's got to be. I mean, this and this and this, that just doesn't account for this. Okay? You look up and you see the stars, or you get a microscope and you look at the tiny little particles and you realize, okay, this didn't just happen by chance. And you see, there's something here that is so powerful and so beautiful, and there's some reason why it's built into us to appreciate that. The evidence for God being God is all around us all the time, and the only way that you can avoid it is to close your eyes stick your fingers in your ears and go la 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 like a little brat. Creation shouts at us that God is God. And everything points to Jesus, that he might be preeminent in all things.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss this opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. Again, visit wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, one of the things about truth is that even people like the Athenians, who were idolaters, can occasionally get something right. The Athenians knew there was more. They knew there was something else. They talked about the unknown God. They didn't talk about him a lot. But Paul comes and he says, I want to tell you about what it is you don't know. I want to share with you the truth. And he begins to point them to the fact that there is a God that all their idols are misrepresenting. God in his word has shown us more than what's in creation. And all of this points us into a knowledge that is not just intellectual, it is relational. Because God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ and went to the cross to pay the debt we owed so that we could be reconciled to him and receive him to live his life in and through us forever. So that having been born again into the family of God, we are now eternally his. And forever and ever and ever, we're going to be with him in a loving relationship. He is our Father. And however wonderful your earthly father may or may not have been, let me tell you, he is so much better. He is so much better. He is the perfect father that you and I didn't have. I had a great dad. But as great as my dad was, he wasn't perfect. God is perfect. And I will be in my father's house forever and ever and ever and ever. No more tears. He's going to wipe them away. We're not going to be sitting up there saying, oh, I miss Ware's Valley. No, the point of that is this. The stuff we thought was so fantastic here is going to be paving up there. Amen. The gold, the silver, the jewels, that's just construction materials. God is going to take us in his arms. He's going to embrace us and love on us, and we with him forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what we're looking forward to. And that changes everything about how we live this life. Because of the truth, we love. The love flows from him because he is love. And so it's not just a matter of learning new concepts. It's a matter of being conformed to his likeness so that more and more and more and more we are like him. So, in Ezekiel, we read something that God says a lot elsewhere. But you know what it says? Over 60 times in the book of Ezekiel, Know that I am the Lord. Know that I am the Lord. God says it in various ways. He says, and then you'll know that I am the Lord. And then you'll know that I am the Lord. I'm doing this so that you will know that I, the Lord, have done this. God reveals himself, demonstrates who he is, because he wants us to know him, not just intellectually, but relationally. Know that I am the Lord. Know that I am the Lord. And when he says that, it's because that's what he wants of us. He wants us to know him, to know the truth about him, to know what pleases him, to know what he's like. And I'll give you an example of how that manifests itself in a person's life. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I have everything I need. If I know that the Lord is the one looking out for me, I don't have to worry about, what about this? What about that? Jesus says, don't worry about that stuff. Your Father knows you need that. He'll take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. You either believe that or you don't. Well, let me tell you what will help you to believe it. If you know that he is the Lord. Is God the author of evil? Never. Never. But what's the worst injustice that ever happened in human history? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Everybody else ultimately deserves death. Jesus did not. He paid for our salvation. Hallelujah. Jesus bore God's wrath so that we can be completely made new. Don't you ever look at your circumstances and think that it's out of God's hands. Well, you know, I messed up. One of my favorite New Testament stories is the disciples in the boat with Jesus, and Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. And the disciples immediately start saying, he's saying that because we forgot to bring bread. And Jesus says, fellas, what are you talking about? When there were 5,000 men plus women and children, how much food did we start out with? 5 loaves, 2 fish. And how many baskets full did you take up afterwards? 12. But Jesus says, do you still not understand? That's his question after he rehearses the miracles with them. Then he says, do you still not understand? Folks, God isn't counting on us to get the job done. God isn't looking and saying, oh, if only there was some way I could make this happen. He spoke the universe into being. He made everything out of nothing. He really doesn't need us. He has chosen to partner with us because he likes to involve us. I got to taste some cake last evening that my grandson helped make. And it was still good. Okay? Now, I'm sure it wasn't because the person who was making the cake needed his assistance. That's not the way these things work. We involve our children and our grandchildren because we love them and we want them to feel a part of what's going on. Well, let me tell you, God loves us even more than we love our children and our grandchildren. And I love my children and grandchildren a ton. But God loves us even more than that. And so when he invites us to be a part of what he's doing, it's because he wants us to be part of the family and feel like we belong. And he wants to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, not because God couldn't have done it without us, but because he chose not to. He wants to use us because he loves us and he wants to bless us.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.